Verulam Sports.
Hello again and welcome to Verulam Sports Podcasting. This is Tony Rice alongside St. Albans' own European Tour Golf referee, Gary Tait. Gary, well, I'm excited to unpack the recent USPGA Championship with you. But first and foremost, I understand that you've been something of an ambassador for the wonderful game of golf out in Sweden. Do tell me some more.
Hey, good evening, Tony. All right. It's part of our company. We have the European Challenge Tour, which is the lower tier tour, the championship to the football's premiership. So we've had a series of events in South Africa, and we've just had 2 weeks in Sweden. So I managed to nip across there, a country I've not been to very much, but a week in Malmo and a week in Stockholm with the superstars of the future. Two very successful weeks. Here we are back in our quarantine in St. Albans for a
Welcome
few days.
Welcome to 2021, people, I tell you.
I'm
travelling. I'm really fascinated by that.
I'm travelling and I'm working, Tony. I'm travelling and I'm working, so I'm not complaining.
You're living the dream, Gary. You are living the dream, I must say. Look, I'll say this much, though, before we unpack this fascinating USPGA Championship, where a man who certainly continues to live his dream is Mr. Phil Mickelson. But just circling back, though, to that Swedish excursion, it's a really interesting one, I find, because golf, of course, as you know, you live and experience, is a global entity. When I think of Sweden, of course, Stenson, obviously fantastic ladies players. And I can recall Jesper Parnevik previously. But obviously, I mean, I know it's very warm in the summer, but obviously very cold in the winter. Not necessarily ideal golfing conditions, is it? So just how, I guess, important is it that you guys keep getting out there and keep spreading the word of golf?
Well, Sweden, I mean, interesting, Sweden's a very, very, very experienced golfing country. The course I was at for then the second week, just by Stockholm, it was designed by Henrik Stenson.
Nice.
We've got a European Tour event in about 3 weeks, the week after the US Open. Hopefully we'll be speaking again then. But there's a tournament in Sweden, the Scandinavian Mixed, hosted by Henrik Stenson. And as you said, they've got famous lady golfers, Annika Sorensen. So that's a very, very innovative tournament in Sweden. They've had the Solheim Cup, which is the ladies' Ryder Cup. You'll get 100,000 spectators in Sweden. Wow. And so the golf course I was in last week in Stockholm was absolutely packed until we took control of it and had our tournament. So it's a very, very, very popular golfing country, Sweden. And they've got a lot of players at the ladies' level, European Tour level and Challenge Tour level.
Well, that is absolutely brilliant. And, you know, once again, reminding us all of just how powerful, the flourishing and innovative game of golf. They're interesting to see the kind of formatting there that you alluded to, but absolutely brilliant. But obviously the traditional golf at the weekend, the majors, they are what the casual fans get very enthused by. And we've got to kick off, don't we, with Phil Mickelson. My goodness me. Once again, reminding us all that age is but a number.
Well, as a man of a similar and slightly older age than Mr. Mickelson, I'm insanely jealous of what he's done. And he's sort of started talking about playing on the Champions Tour, which is the over 50s tour, like the Legends Tour in Europe. The Champions Tour is the over 50s tour. He's played on it already. He's won. He's still trying to play on the PGA Tour, the regular American Tour events against the young guys. And here hasn't he gone and won a major on probably one of the toughest golf courses to play for anybody.
Well, you say that. I mean, certainly it was this event, USPGA Championship, over the weekend at Kiawa Island out in Carolina, the longest in major history. So once again, the fact that Mickelson physically can keep competing and indeed showing the way is astonishing, I find.
Well, I mean, he's gone and lost a bit of weight. He's gone and tried to change a few things. He's gone for meditation. He's been walking around in the sort of Zen. He's been doing all sorts of stuff. But let me tell you, that is a golf course. And that is a golf course. And that was absolutely nails on the last day. That was so difficult with the wind and the weather. It was so difficult. And he won it in style. And that's off to him. It's amazing what he did.
Absolutely astonishing. Because the thing is, we allude there to the physicality of your great game of golf. But the thing that I genuinely love about it, just purely from a spectator's perspective, is that I think it must be one of the most challenging mentally, psychologically, games. Because, you know, it can change in a matter of seconds. You hit one bad shot, a round can go to pot. And all the talk coming into that final round was the Mr. Chip on the shoulder, Brooks Koepka bidding for a fifth major, much younger man, in fact, only 8 months of age when Mickelson won his first event on tour, was the favourite. And it was Brooks Koepka who wilted under that pressure, while Mickelson just kept doing the business.
Yeah, it was an interesting combination. I mean, a young star and an old star. I mean, both plenty of majors under their belts. But Koepka's recently had a knee operation, and he played the Masters straight after having it. And he played well. But Mickelson was not phased out by him, and he was very, very good off the tee. Mickelson, which is not normally his forte. He's normally pretty good with a short game, but he made sure he kept it in play. And on that golf course, that was vital. And I think he beat the young lad. I think he beat Mr. Chip on the shoulder, as you call him. I think he beat him. So that was one for us old fellas, and an incredible person to be winning a major.
Absolutely. I mean, the oldest major winner in golfing history now, surpassing Julius Boros, who back in 68 won the same event, PGA Championship, 48 years and 4 months. Jack Nicklaus is also in that top list. Not a bad name to be associated with, winning the Masters back in 86, age 46 and 2 months. But the oldest major winner now is Phil Mickelson, who is 51 on my birthday, June the 16th. So there we go. Hey, just talking Phil Mickelson, though. One thing that we always associate with Phil Mickelson, one of the things that has been his forte that's led him now to six majors, is his short game. He is a wizard, and I thought that classic chip that he did on the fifth was sublime.
Well, are you talking about the hold bunker shot? Is that
that's the baby? Absolutely.
Just when he thought he was in trouble, and his fellow competitor, what was an ideal scenario, playing together in the last two ball of a major with the only guy that you really got to worry about, and he's in trouble, and your playing partner's safe, looking good for potential birdie, and you hole it out of a bunker. You never know what Phil Mickelson may do, but the thing was, he didn't get in that much trouble during that final round, and that's not like him. He did something that last round that kept him in play off the tee. Kept him in shape, and that's why he did it, I think, because he played a very safe round of golf. There were 65s on the last day, there were 74s, but he just made sure he just kept that one or two ahead all the way around. It was a pretty impressive final round.
And he's so well loved, isn't it? And it was so great to see the spectators there and the roar of the crowd. They swamped him. They demonstrated that love visibly. But I tell you what, I thought it was a really classy touch going back to that chip in. I think this is, again, a reflection of the man when he handed the ball to the young lad in the wheelchair. Mm-hmm. And the look of sheer jubilation on that fella's face was just beautiful. He'll never forget that. What a quality, classy touch from Phil.
Yeah, I suppose that's what they call smelling the roses as you go around. I mean, he's in the heat of battle there. You're a bit tense when you're playing any sort of sport to that level. And it just shows you how nice a person you are when you do it, when it matters. And that was a nice touch. Nice touch. Very impressed.
And again, it was an incredibly challenging course. I think there was only 16 players who finished under par. One of those I just want to remind everybody about, Gary. We spoke to him about him in the last discussion you and I shared. I think this young man is a man to watch. Will Zalatoris breaks par, finishes one under, five off the lead. Wasn't really challenging, but overall, I think his 360 of his game, from tee to green, his putting capacity, I think he's got the total package.
Yeah, he's followed up an amazing performance at the Masters with another performance at the USPGA. He's a good golfer. He's a good golfer and he's a very solid player. I think his long game saw him through there. I'd just like to mention one more player, though, which is a guy I threw at you for the Masters, and you did say to me, who the hell is he? And that's Mexico's Abraham Ansah.
Did well, didn't he?
More trying to give you a few little chip a few in there. And Scotty Scheffler, Abraham Ansah, Will Zalatoris, 65 on the last day for Ansah. Absolutely world-class score, that is. Saw him come all the way through the field up to eighth place. Yep. No one even sniffed a 65. That is a ridiculous score on the last day. And it was amazing.
Hey, another man that I like to mention also had a jolly good last day, Justin Rose. Again, nowhere near contention, really, but finishes one under par. Just reminds us that this guy is one of the most consistent performers, always at the major level. And I've just got so much admiration for Justin Rose. I should dearly like to enjoy his company one of these fine days.
We'll sort that out. No way. We'll sort that out, don't we? You're back to the Rose Loving again, your favourite player. I mean, unbelievable. He's back, and he's there. Again, amazing. He's had a funny old time. He's been playing good and bad, but I mean, that was a great score. Great score. And so this is a tough golf course. It's sort of a Lynx version of Augusta, if that could be possibly.
It sends a shudder down my spine, that very concept. My word. I tell you what, I was bemoaning, Gary. I was bemoaning going into the final rounds that there were no Europeans in the top page. But that changed, didn't it, in the final round? And I tell you what, my word, talking about rolling back the years, we have to once again pay our homages to Phil Mickelson. But another man who did precisely that was Patrick Harrington, wasn't it? His best major finish since winning the USPGA back in 2008. And it looked to me like he had a good crack with his good mate Shane Lowry, both of whom finished 2 under. Great to see. I tell you what, I would love to be a fly on their golf bags. I think that would have been a lot of fun.
Well, I mean, he's been looking at his young lads for the Ryder Cup selection come September, and he's ended up running fifth in the USPGA, an event he's won before. But I mean, playing with someone you know well, who you're probably going to end up picking in the Ryder Cup, is probably the best way to be relaxed on a golf course. And so watching him play a few golf shots at them, and he still plays very well, and he's fast becoming 50. So
indeed,
I'd say he's going to be able to do what Mickelson and play both well on this level of tour, and he's also going to be able to play well on the over 50s tour, the Champions Tour, or the Legends Tour in Europe. So it's not age is not a restriction to being good at golf, it seems to be.
Well, I think that's so important as well, because it just breaks down all these kind of assumptions that we make. Now, I want to throw this in there. I think it's a little bit early. I want to throw this in there a little bit prematurely, because obviously there's lots that needs to be done recovery-wise, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm talking about Tiger Woods. I'm sure Tiger Woods must have been watching this. He had obviously that fantastic rivalry with Mickelson. And I'm sure, knowing that warrior spirit that suffuses through those veins of his, that he will be inspired by Mickelson's efforts. And I can't wait for Tiger Woods to return accordingly.
Can you imagine what he was thinking, though, sitting back home watching a 50-year-old bloke win a major, and he's been trying to win a couple more to get to Jack's 18? Can you imagine? I'm sure he's been absolutely delighted for him.
Well, listen, like I say, it's maybe not delighted. I'm sure he wasn't doing cartwheels. But certainly, I think that would remind him that all things indeed are possible. And the Warrior Tiger hunting Nicholson's 18, which still remains the bar. So much exciting golf. But my word, so many exciting youngsters. What a great era this is, Gary. Fantastic.
Well, yeah, so we're talking about trying to bring golf to the fore and bring youngsters into the game. It's interesting that a 50-year-old wins one of the biggest tournaments going, and we're talking about people who are nearly 50. But, I mean, yeah, your Zalatoris and your Anser and your Scottie Scheffler and all those guys. I mean, it's still everything.
Hey, and
there,
let's not forget, we haven't even mentioned another one that I rate very highly, Juan Ram, who I'm convinced is a major winner in the near future.
Absolutely nailed on. Yeah, absolutely. We tried to give him the Masters win because he had the nappy factor, but he ripped it. And one of the higher ranking players to score well on the last day. And I think he finished up in the sort of top 10 there. So he's nailed on for future glory, and only a young fella. So it just shows that golf's covering everybody, whether it's male or female, young or old. It's a game for everyone. We need to remind everyone that. The fact that people of a certain age can play that high level of golf shows that it probably is a mental game. It probably is all in their head.
And honestly, I mentioned that earlier in the piece. It's truly what I love about your great sport. Because, again, as you say, the technology changes and things improve and this and that. But at the end of the day, it boils down to where your head's at any given moment and how you're able to control those emotions. It really is, I think, one of the most compelling, one of the most beautiful games that we have on planet Earth, Gary. It must be a thrill for you to be so deeply involved in it.
Well, it's quite a technical game, and it's quite a tense game, and it's so complicated. But I mean, when it's yours to win, or so yours to lose, sorry, suddenly it is very easy to lose. And it's amazing how people do well on the last day and come up from 12th to 4th and 12th to 5th. But when you're first going to the last round, one or two or three shots, the more you can be ahead in the last round is not necessarily a good thing, because it's yours to lose. If it suddenly dawns on you it's yours to lose, you can probably lose it easier than if it's yours to win.
And well, I'm on record with this one, Gary. I'll tell you something. I fell in love with golf back in 96, I think, when I was watching with my old man, the Masters, where the great white shark, Greg Norman, for all the world, was nailed on victor. But another six-time major winner, Sir Nick Faldo, hunted down the great white shark. And for me, watching that, I think I would have been, what would I have been? I'd been maybe 12, perhaps, maybe a bit younger. And I was just edge of the seat. My jaw was open. It was just theatre.
Yep. Same sort of thing for why I took up golf and why I got interested in golf. It's a love playing matches and beat someone else, and someone who suddenly realises it's theirs to lose, they've got to protect the lead, and suddenly that's not as easy as you think. Unless you're someone who is experienced and as good as Mickelson, who did just that over the weekend there. But yeah, that's the number. They call it the sports psychologists who spend a lot of time with all the tour golfers trying to make them better. They call it the 4-inch fairway, which is the distance between the two ears. And that's the hardest fairway to hit, the 4-inch fairway. It's a fear of failure, all the cliches in psychology, but yeah, it's a brutal game, and they're all very technically very good, but when it matters, you've just got to pretend it doesn't matter and just get on with it and just hit your shots, which you know you can do as a good player, which Mickelson did in spades on the weekend. He hit some great shots. And didn't get fazed by anything.
And credit once again to Phil Mickelson, becoming the oldest major winner in golfing history, reminding us all that this number on our date of birth is just merely that. Encouraging everybody, young and old, to get involved with the great sport of golf. And, of course, we're very lucky to be speaking to European Tour golf referee Gary Tate. Gary, what's coming up on the European Tour for us to look forward to?
Well, Tony, that's an interesting one. At the minute, we're in a bit of flux at the moment. This week, we're playing in Denmark on the Maiden Himmerland in the north of Denmark. We're projected to go to the Porsche European Open in Germany the week after that. So we'll see how that pans out. And then we're into the US Open. We've got Scandinavian mixed. This week on the Challenge Tour, the up and coming tour, we're at the Irish Challenge in Portmarnock Links, just south of Dublin. Beautiful golf course. And hopefully by the end of the month, the Legends Tour, the 50-plus tour, will start with the Farm Foods International down in Trevose in Cornwall. So we've got some stuff coming up, but we're still facing interesting travel and COVID restrictions as we go through Europe. And hopefully we'll be coming back to talk to you in July when we get to the Open at Sandwich.
Well, I'll tell you what, can't wait for that. And also can't wait for just before that, the next major, just after Mickelson's birthday and my own, June the 17th through the 20th at Torrey Pines. It remains the only major that has eluded Mickelson. Maybe he can repeat the trick from this weekend. We'll find out more. But to find out more about the European Tour, Gary, what's the website? What's the best way to engage with you?
Well, it's a good way to get an invite to the next Open is by winning a major. So Phil Mickelson was given an invitation to enter the US Open, but he's won the US PGA, so he's in double fold. So, hey, thanks for the opportunity to talk about the European Tour, Tony. www.europeantour.com for all the live scoring of the events, and at European Tour on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok, etc. So watch out for stuff on there, little clips from all our tour events, and hey, thanks for the chance to talk about European Tour golf.
I think it's incredibly important. I think you're doing a wonderful thing. I'm loving the fact, Gary, that you remind us all that you can indeed live that dream. So for now, I'm going to say it's always a big pleasure. Great to unpack the fantastic USPGA Championship with you. I know you're in for a little bit of looking after that, make sure you're fully quarantined, but then no doubt representing that European Tour with pride again. Thanks, as always, Gary. Massive pleasure.
Tony, thanks very much. Living the dream in quarantine in St. Albans.